June 21st, 2009, the celebrated host of Go Vegan Radio, Bob Linden, launched the first ever Vegan Earth Day with a festival that included the Vegan Earth Day for a Vegan World seminar. Though Supreme Master Ching Hai was unable to attend as the invited guest of honor due to her busy schedule, she graciously shared her insights about society's advancement toward ideal moral values through an inspirational video message. Dignitaries who attended the seminar included Rip Esselstyn, vegan firefighter and author of the New York Times bestseller, The Engine 2 Diet, Christine Garcia, vegan animal rights activist, founder and lead counsel of the Animal Law Office in San Francisco, Chris DeRose, animal rights activist, founder and president of Last Chance for Animals, and author of In Your Face, From Actor to Animal Activist, Jonelle Romero, Native American vegan and producer of the first American Indian Internet television channel, Red Nation Television Channel, and Janice Belson, vegan executive director of Medicines Global. The seminar was also covered by KTLA, a television station in Southern California. We now invite you to listen to part three of the rebroadcast of the live seminar, Vegan Earth Day for a Vegan World, in Woodland Hills, California, USA, on June 21st, 2009.
Our next topic of discussion will be presented by Mr. Rip Esselstyn, world-class professional triathlete and firefighter from Austin, Texas. Mr. Esselstyn is also the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Engine 2 Diet. As firefighter in Austin, Mr. Esselstyn convinced his entire team of Engine 2 firefighters to eat a vegan diet. It started out as a 28-day challenge to lower cholesterol, but ended up literally changing people's lives. Today, Station 2 is known throughout the city as a plant-based station, inspiring hundreds of other firefighters to embrace the plant-strong lifestyle. Mr. Esselstyn has proven that it is macho to be vegan. In recognition of his compassionate and noble efforts in promoting the vegan lifestyle, Mr. Rip Esselstyn was the recipient of the Shining World Hero Award from Supreme Master Ching Hai. We'd also like to recognize his parents who were here earlier today, his mother, Anne, and his father, who is Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, MD, who, with 25 years of research, created the longest study demonstrating the curative effects of the vegan diet over cardiovascular disease. Mrs. Esselstyn helped to make the study successful by preparing delicious, nutritious meals that could then be taught to the patients. We now welcome Mr. Esselstyn to present his question.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Hello, Supreme Master. There are more frequent disasters and diseases happening lately. Sometimes it seems like disasters are a cleansing process and provide opportunity for changes, which may serve the purpose of awakening our consciousness. Why is it that human beings have to learn through negative impact and suffering in order to improve their lives for the better? And according to the countdown date indicated on Supreme Master Television, we have about 3.5 years to save our planet from the point of no return and the global warming crisis. This is truly a planetary emergency. We need to respond, code 3, with lights and sirens. How can we unite our efforts and work harder with higher efficiency to save our home?
Hi there, Mr. Rip Esselstyn. How are you and the Engine 2 Vegan Heroes? Thank you for your concern about the planet's dire state and your own efforts to help. And thank you for your thoughtful questions. Well, to answer your first question about why human beings have to go through negative experience or suffering in order to improve, sometimes we all need a stronger wake-up call to shock us out of a state of complacency. Sometimes, being too busy with survival, we get stuck in a habit or just an unaware way of life, even though it's harmful or endangering our very lives. It is similar to having a long-term illness. A disease might be so entrenched in us that it takes painful surgery and hospitalization to cure us. Ultimately, the treatment, like surgery, is good for us, just not pleasant at the time. Negative experiences, we should keep in mind, are always the consequences of our actions, which somehow were not wholesome. So they're there to help us realize we're not doing something in the best way. We should change. Fortunately, heaven is very merciful and is actually gives us many chances to improve. So we should try to change, ask for forgiveness, and take action to correct our previous mistakes before we are reminded more harshly, or worse yet, before we lose our chances to correct. To answer your second question, sir, about how to unite our efforts and work harder and efficiently to save our home, you and the engine too are actually doing it already, because you are a role model of the vegan solution to climate change. That's why I call you heroes, because you're truly that. Uniting to adopt the vegan diet is the most efficient and effective way to cool the planet and restore its equilibrium. Because, as we now know, livestock is the world's single largest source of methane, a greenhouse gas that traps about 72 times more heat than CO2. At the same time, methane is shorter lived than CO2, so it will go out of the atmosphere more quickly if it is no longer produced. Now, another important aspect is the spiritual, meaning that the noble qualities of a vegan lifestyle can altogether ward off the negative consequences and suffering we are seeing in the form of global warming, climate change, planetary imbalance, and disasters. We mentioned earlier, regarding your first question, that heaven is merciful and gives us a chance to correct ourselves. Well, in the case of climate change, being vegan is this chance for us to correct and redeem ourselves before it's too late. On Supreme Master Television, we have an ad that reminds us, don't give up everything to be a world saver, just be vegan. How much more energy efficient can we get than replacing the beefsteak with a nicely marinated tofu? Thus, the vegan diet is how we should unite ourselves immediately to save our home. And in that regard, we thank you, Mr. Esselstyn, and the Engine 2 shining examples. Thank you. For free information about the harms of a meat diet and the benefits of a vegan diet, you can visit www.suprememastertv.com/b-veg. All the material there is freely available to download and share. Thank you. Thank you.
Vegetarianism in religion.
The Baha'i Faith. Regarding the eating of animal flesh and abstinence therefrom, know thou of a certainty that, in the beginning of creation, God determined the food of every living being, and to eat contrary to that determination is not approved. selections from the Baha'i writings of some aspects of health and healing.
Buddhism. All meats eaten by living beings are of their own relatives. Lankavatara Sutra.
Gaudai. The most important thing is to stop killing, because animals also have souls and understand like humans. If we kill and eat them, then we owe them a blood debt. Teachings of the saints.
Christianity. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Holy Bible.
And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Holy Bible.
Confucianism. All men have a mind which cannot bear to see the sufferings of others. The superior man, having seen the animals alive, cannot bear to see them die. Having heard their dying cries, he cannot bear to eat their flesh. Mencius. Essenes.
I am come to end the sacrifices and feasts of blood, and if ye cease not offering and eating of flesh and blood, the wrath of God shall not cease from you. Gospel of the Holy Twelve.
Hinduism. Since you cannot bring killed animals back to life, you are responsible for killing them. Therefore, you are going to hell. There is no way for your deliverance. Adilila.
He who desires to augment his own flesh by eating the flesh of other creatures lives in misery in whatever species he may take his birth. Mahabharata Anu.
Islam. Allah will not give mercy to anyone except those who give mercy to other creatures. Hadith.
Do not allow your stomachs to become graveyards of animals. Hadith.
Jainism. A true monk should not accept such food and drink as has been specially prepared for him involving the slaughter of living beings. Sutrakatanga.
Judaism. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. Holy Bible. Blood meaning flesh.
Sikhism. Those mortals who consume marijuana, flesh, and wine, no matter what pilgrimages, fasts, and rituals they follow, they will all go to hell. Guru Granth Sahib.
Taoism. Do not go into the mountain to catch birds and nets, nor to the water to poison fishes and minnows. Do not butcher the ox that plows your field. Tract of the Quiet Way.
Tibetan Buddhism. The offering to the deities of meat obtained by killing animate beings is like offering a mother the flesh of her own child, and this is a grievous failure, the supreme path of discipleship.
Zoroastrianism. Those plants I, Ahura Mazda, or God, rain down upon the earth to bring food to the faithful and fodder to the beneficent cow. Avesta.
Everybody knows that vegetarian diet is good for health and to save the planet. They will be awakening their own great, compassionate, loving self-nature, and then their level of consciousness will rise up automatically, and they will understand more than they ever did, and they'll be closer to heaven than what they are right now.
We are delighted to introduce Ms. Janelle Romero, an award-winning American Indian producer, actress, and singer. As founder of the Red Nation Celebration, Ms. Romero uses film to foster an appreciation and respect for American Indian culture, art, and music. Red Nation Celebration also seeks to create better economic opportunities for Indigenous Americans through music and entertainment. When Ms. Romero played a lead role in A Girl Called Hatter Fox, she became the first Native American woman to play a leading role in a film about contemporary Native woman. She participated in the Lilith Fair, a traveling musical festival featuring female artists, and performed for the United Nations at their 60th anniversary celebration. Ms. Romero promotes a vegan diet to improve the health of the American Indian community and to save the earth. She also sang the opening ceremony for the SOS International Global Warming Seminar in Los Angeles, California, USA in July 2008. Greetings, Ms. Romero.
Thank you. Thank you for this honor again to be present here today to experience all the beauty that encompasses all of us here today. And I'd like to ask you a question. And in your animal book, The Noble Wild, you introduced the secret of noble quality, and readers can come to understand the beautiful inner world of our animal friends, our animal nation. Our people all know the interconnection with animals and nature. We understand and we know there's only one earth, one sky, one moon, one sun, one you, one me, and one voice. And in that voice, we all have the same blood, and that's red, including our animal relations. And with that, people with animals often experience this bond as well, yet they tend to be indifferent to other animals, to the point that they can eat their flesh and hunt them for fun. How can we together help others to regain this connection, this sacred connection, so that they can live in peace with nature and other life forms again? Hello, Ms. Romero. I am happy to hear that you already understand this inner connection with nature and the wilds. It is a very beautiful part of life, which I also tried to convey in The Noble Wilds. Also, the beautiful gifts offered to humans from the animals, their invisible blessings. If all of humanity can make this inner connection, we surely will live in peace. So how to do it? Well, this is a big part of our message today. The message to be veg to save the planet. Because now it is not only that we would like to live in peace with nature, we must remember how to do so, or life as we know it will be no more. So this is the way, which starts with our own life, on our plate. We start with the vegan diet, something that everyone can understand from many aspects. It is the most healthy, with studies having shown that vegetarians live up to 15 years longer than meat eaters. Being veg is also the most ecological, as it halts major lethal pollution, saves vital resources such as water, air, and soil, while saving a lot of water and even food. And being veg stops 80% of global warming. These are very compelling reasons to be veg, because if everyone does so, we already save the planet. And then there is the compassion reason, to spare all life, because this is the noble way to live. Besides, all life is connected. What benefits one species will bring good to all others. To respond to your question about the things we can do to help others regain their inner connection, it's sometimes easiest to start with the logical approach of showing both the personal health side of being veg as well as the planetary benefit. These are easily demonstrated thanks to all the scientific research that points out the dangerous health risks of meat eating, such as cancer. And these days, we also hear more and more about diseases associated with meat production, including virus transmissions like bird flu and swine flu. And then along with the logic, there is also, of course, the message of compassion. Ultimately, we must turn to a kinder way of life in order to survive on the planet ourselves. Kindness begets kindness, peace begets peace. So you are entirely correct, Ms. Romero. Please join us in spreading the message to be veg. It is a very urgent time for the earth, as you probably know. The more we all can do to help people understand the importance of being veg, the better our planet will be. Thank you for your question, and Providence bless you, your continued inner connection with the animals, as well as your endeavors to save their lives and the planet.
Some of the diseases related to meat consumption and or production: swine flu, Ebola Reston virus. Cured meats and fish increase leukemia risk in children. Antibiotic-resistant superbug infections from a strain of Staphylococcus aureus. Blue tongue disease, E. coli, Salmonella, bird flu, mad cow disease or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, 90% of the population at risk. Pig's disease or PMWS, listeriosis, shellfish poisoning, pre-eclampsia, Campylobacter, Clostridium difficile, diseases hidden in healthy appearing livestock. Some of the costs of meat eating. Infertility. Eating just one serving of meat per day increases the risk of women's infertility by 32%, with additional meat consumption increasing the risk. Heart disease. Over 17 million lives lost globally each year. Cost of cardiovascular disease is at least $1 trillion a year. Cancer. Colon rectal cancer. Over 1 million new colon cancer patients diagnosed each year. More than 600,000 colon cancer related mortalities annually. In the United States alone, colon cancer treatment costs about $6.5 billion. Millions of people are newly diagnosed with other meat related cancers every year. Diabetes. 246 million people are affected worldwide. An estimated $174 billion spent each year on treatment in just the United States. Obesity. Worldwide, 1.6 billion adults are overweight, with 400 million more who are obese. Costs $93 billion each year for medical expenses in the United States alone. At least 2.6 million people die annually from problems related to being overweight or obese. Environmental. Use up to 70% of clean water. Pollute most of the water bodies. Deforest the lungs of the earth. Uses up to 43% of the world's cereal. Uses up to 85% of the world's soy. Cause world hunger and wars. 80% cause of global warming. Plus more.
Some of the costs of milk consumption. Bacterial microbes, pesticides, and enzymes found in cheese derived from the inner stomach linings of other animals. Up to 80% of the calories in cheese are from pure fat. Breast, prostate, and testicular cancer from hormones present in milk. Listeria and Crohn's disease. Hormones and saturated fat leads to osteoporosis, obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. Linked to higher incidences of multiple sclerosis. Classified as a major allergen. Lactose intolerance. Plus more.
For more urgent information, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/killers.
Our next speaker, Mr. Alfredo Cuba, is an energetic defender of the nobility of animals. He's the founder and president of the Silicon Valley in Defense of Animals. In 1995, Mr. Cuba attended an Earth Day conference, much like this one, in University of Berkeley in California. Upon learning about the suffering of animals, he immediately adopted the compassionate vegan lifestyle and began defending the dignity and freedom of all animals. Through public demonstrations and the justice system, he has successfully raised awareness of the plight of captive animals. In recognition of his noble and compassionate efforts, Mr. Cuba was recently the recipient of the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals César Chávez Si Se Puede Award. The words Si Se Puede are Spanish for yes, it can be done. Mr. Cuba is unable to be with us in person this evening. He would like to ask Supreme Master Ching Hai, however, two questions.
Can you shed light on the progress of human consciousness? And what are your thoughts on the peace movement and veganism? Mr. Kuba has also sent us his greetings in the following video.
Greetings, Supreme Master Xinghai. My name is Alfredo Kuba. I was going to talk about what it means to be progressive and eating animals is cruel, and being cruel to animals is not being progressive. Also, eating animals causes world hunger because it's squandering of resources. And causing world hunger is not being progressive. Also, when we eat animals, we cause deforestation, killing wildlife, desertification, and many other environmental catastrophes. And that is not being progressive. Being vegan, on the other hand, is being progressive because it prevents all of these atrocities. Also, I wanted to talk briefly about being peaceful and nonviolent. Being peaceful and nonviolent is a universal. And so when we eat animals and devour other living beings, we are not being peaceful. And so being vegan is being peaceful and nonviolent because we are being not cruel to all life.
We thank Mr. Kuba for his question, and this is Supreme Master Qinghai's answer to him. Hello, Mr. Kuba. Congratulations to your being the first ever recipient of PETA Cesar Chavez Si Se Puede Award. You deserve even more. Thank you for your strong-hearted statement about veganism and peace for all beings. Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with what you say regarding the progress of human consciousness and behavior. The noble qualities of compassion and peace have been upheld since time immemorial by all true spiritual teachings. However, humanity as a whole has not always been ready to accept these principles. Sadly, not all of us knew how important they were for our own survival. For example, at this urgent time on the planet, we must stop the killing animals, or humanity will perish as well. In past times, people may not have known of this truth or tried to ignore it, being too busy or feeling too inconvenienced. The good news for us now is that humanity does have the chance to become aware and ponder over this due to the urgent state of our world. Also, I have mentioned at another time that we have passed the tipping point for vegetarianism, meaning that enough people in this world have become veg, that it will be easier for the rest to adopt this lifestyle as long as they are open to changing their habits. So people like yourself, Mr. Kuba, who already uphold and live the values of true peace, are especially valued in helping spread the word to reawaken this awareness in others. We need every person possible to bring the message of peace for all beings, to help the Earth avert crisis. It really is that important. So I thank you for the work you have done already and ask that you please continue. Regarding the peace movement and veganism, yes, being vegan does mean nonviolence. As you may be aware, there are some groups, such as the Jains, that practice peace to the extent that they even refrain from eating certain vegetables whose harvest might cause harm to underground beings such as the earthworm. This is another level of what is also known as ahimsa, or doing no harm. We believe in ahimsa and we try to live the way of ahimsa, or nonviolence. Now, how to promote these values of peace in today's world? The great philosopher Confucius taught that world peace starts with ourselves. We must first cultivate ourselves, then take care of our family, Then we can govern our country and pacify the world. So we start with changing our own lifestyle, which you have already done. And you have my sincere appreciation for that. And the lifestyle of a vegan diet is most peaceful, just as the proverb says. First, the vegan diet is making peace with our own body, because it is the healthiest and kindest diet we could ever have to our being. Millions upon millions of deaths due to heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and obesity could be virtually gone. We will have a stronger immune system to face other kinds of diseases, which would not plague us. New deadly viruses like the swine flu or worse would not plague us anymore, because it has been clearly shown that these viruses are being bred in factory farms. Hundreds of billions of U.S. dollars in health costs could be saved. The well-known medical doctor Neil Barnard said the beef industry has contributed to more American deaths than all the wars of this century, all natural disasters, and all automobile accidents combined. Next, to be vegan is to make peace with the animals by ending their slaughter of billions and halting the suffering. We need to realize that there is no real pleasure and certainly no benefit from partaking in the flesh of a sentient being. Veganism allows peace for our fellow human beings as well. If we don't eat meat and dairy, we eliminate the work situations that currently demand killing. This high-stress, depressing work is found in factory farms and slaughterhouses, is strongly linked to high crime rates, domestic abuse, and substance abuse in these communities. We cannot have peace, really, until we do away with this unpeaceful meat system. There is another way that the vegan diet brings peace to our fellow human beings, and that is the fact that a billion people won't have to go to bed hungry anymore, because all the precious grains will be freed from going to fatten the poor livestock. Grains enough to feed 2 billion people, actually, and it isn't even the animal's natural food that is being forced upon them. Going further, peace for our country. In a vegan society, there are more balanced economies because, let's face it, in the meat system, it is incredibly inefficient. If anything, there is only short-term gain. For example, one study found that the cost of mitigating global warming, estimated at $40 trillion U.S. dollars, could be reduced by 80% if everyone switched to an organic vegan diet. A study found that the Amazon rainforest provides more economic gain if left intact, as opposed to if it is deforested. In fact, we gain $6,820 U.S. dollars per hectare of intact Amazon land. We gain $1,000 U.S. dollars only if we clear the forest for commercial timber. And can you guess how much money we make if we clear that hectare for cattle pasture? A mere $148. Leo Tolstoy said, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. Pythagoras said, for as long as men massacre animals, they will kill each other. Think of all the lives, human lives, and family happiness, and economic prosperity we gain in a world without war. And finally, a vegan lifestyle helps us make peace, big time, with our environment, our planet. We can stop 80% of global warming. At the least, we could eliminate greenhouse gas emissions that are much more than that of the world's transportation sectors combined. The oceans and rivers, life and pure water will be restored. Currently, there are hundreds of oceanic dead zones, created largely from nitrogen fertilizer runoff associated with livestock production. They have been growing in number and size. These would be eliminated, along with the ocean acidification that already threatens many coral reefs and other marine life, which is caused by increased CO2 absorption and in the sea waters due to rising atmospheric temperatures. The disappearance of oceanic dead zones created from livestock, nitrogen runoff, and the ocean acidification could be eased with planetary cooling. There would cease to be millions of gallons of toxic animal waste choking our rivers and underground water supplies. One cow produces 20 times the waste of a human. And the manure of all the farmed animals in the U.S., for example, leave behind 100 times the sewage of the people. 100 times. I'm sorry, it's not pleasant, but I'm sure you would agree it would be nice to have a planet without the extra landmarks of waste hills and lagoons. And there's more. Of the Amazon deforested since 1970, 91% has been used for livestock and meat production, and meat production continues to rapidly expand in Brazil. Livestock grazing is known to be a major factor in land degradation, causing it to become unusable for a very long time. However, with a vegan population, even land considered barren from deforestation and trampling and grazing of livestock will recover. Another factor is air quality, from which livestock generates 64% of ammonia, contributing to acid rain, 37% of the methane, and 65% of the nitrous oxide in the atmosphere. Hydrogen sulfide is another poisonous gas produced as a byproduct of farmed animal operations. Thus, acid rain and other atmospheric hazards will diminish greatly so that trees and other flora can thrive again. Return to nature and organic vegan cultivation, the land can even become a vast carbon sink, absorbing 40% of greenhouse gases to further cool the earth. And these are just the physical signs of an emerging peace, not to mention the spiritual tranquility we gain for ourselves and for the planet's benevolent, blissful vibration. So being vegan is the first and foremost important step of the peace movement. And we have to help everyone out of this to sow the seeds of the next era of progress and lead the new peace movement of our times for the world, for the newborn generation, for the future generation, and for us now. Meanwhile, animals thank you, Mr. Kuba. The animals know of your love, and God knows of your love. So please continue with your work in that love. Thank you for your caring question and your part in saving our planet.
Serious problems, and everyone has their solution. Going vegan obviously is a part of the solution.
Thank you for joining us today on Words of Wisdom. Join us again on Friday for part 4 of Vegan Earth Day for a Vegan World. And now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Models of Success, coming up next, right after Noteworthy News. May your life overflows with God's boundless love and blessings.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW